Good morning. 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 My name's Tony. If you don't know me, I'm lead pastor here at Impact Church and looking after you this morning in terms of speaking to you. For those that filled out the census, if you've completed that, if you'd fold it up, guys, I've got lots of ring up here if you can help me. If you could fold it up and we're going to have our service team come right now and they're going to collect it and just take that from you. So if you've done those, would you pass them to the person on the end of the aisle right now? We'll have the team rip around just quickly. They'll take those. Thank you very much for your cooperation in terms of filling those out. I know it's one of those boring, mundane things that nobody likes to do, but it's essential in terms of us staying up to date and being able to contact and let you know what's coming up in the life of church. You ready for a good preach today? I am so, so ready. I love Sundays. You love Sundays? I love it. Sunday's family day. It's church day. It's when all the church family comes together. You meet new people. And it's just a very exciting place to be on a Sunday. And going to church is one of the very best things that you can do to help you and to help your family and to help your world. Sorry, I'm going to struggle until we get this sorted out. Guys are just sorting some sound stuff out, so if I look irritated, I absolutely am, because it doesn't work up here on stage when it's like that. This is the best place to be in terms of building your faith and building your future, and it's the best thing to do consistently. That 8-week challenge that we give to new people, that's to help you really understand church, not just come and have a little glimpse, but really understand who we are, how we do the journey, so you can taste and see whether this is the right place for you. Today I want to start a whole new thought. We're going to start a new series today, which will go all the way till Easter. So all the way till Easter we're going to do this. It's called Sand and Stars. Everyone say Sand and Stars. Sand and Stars. You know, our vision statement as a church is really just to help people move forward. Just to help people move forward. In full explanation, this is what it is. Who we are. We empower people to keep advancing. We consider everyone, and we express life that encourages those around us to move life forward. That's what we're here for. We're here to do that in and through the life-giving message of Jesus Christ to help people advance in life, break through barriers and limitations and circumstances and the past that holds people back. And so we're here to help people advance. And what I want to do over these next few weeks up until Easter is really just help increase our awareness. Increase our awareness in the possibilities of life, in the things that God can do and wants to do for every one of us, to believe that God would help us move life forward. Anyone else want to believe for that today? Anyone want to believe that God can actually help move our lives forward? Genesis 22, verse 17 says this. It's God speaking to a man called Abram, who we know very, very well. He says, I will greatly bless you. Not just bless you, I will greatly bless you. And I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. Let me give you the background to this amazing promise that God gives to this man called Abram, that I will greatly bless you and I will multiply you and your seed as the stars and the sand. 2,000 years before Jesus Christ was on earth, there's a man called Abram who walked with God, is what we're told. He was a man that walked with God. We know him mostly as Abraham, but here in the story, his name is Abram. Abram and his wife Sarai could not have children. She was barren and they were of mature age. They're about 75 years of age. And so at 75, the expectation, the hope, the dream, the vision of having children had almost slipped through their fingers and seemed impossible, highly improbable that it would ever take place. But God comes along like God does, and God gives an amazing promise, an amazing dream, an amazing vision to Abram about his future. It was something beyond reason. It was beyond rationale. It was beyond all probability. And it was certainly beyond his wildest imaginations. And God says, I will greatly bless you. I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. So God says, I'm going to bless you greatly. I'm going to multiply you greatly, you barren one. I'm going to do something that is absolutely impossible for you. This series is called Sand and Stars. I've reversed the order from stars to sand because it just sounds better. Sand and stars. It's figurative speech, or it's a simile, where two things are contrasted to give a powerful truth, to make something pop in terms of our understanding. So God uses this word picture. He uses this simile for Abram to help him understand something, to make it really vivid and leave a lasting impression. Now, this is not the first time God gave this promise to Abram. God had given it previously to him. The first time that God shared this promise of blessing and multiplying his family and his children, well, at that point, Abram and Sarah were barren. And God brought this simile of sand and stars to him to help him dream, to help him imagine, to help him believe, to help him break free from his limited thinking, to impress upon Abram the need to imagine more and to imagine bigger, because something big was about to begin to unfold in the life of Abram. Now, the imagery was intended by God to move him beyond the boundary of his natural mind. You know, there's a truth and a reality for every one of us where we need God to move our mind, our heart, our circumstances, our hope, our confidence, our faith, our belief beyond our natural circumstances. We all have natural circumstances that hold us back. It might be a past, it might be a present, it might be a limitation, it might be finance, it might be health, it might be family, it might be friends, it could be faith, it could be anything at all that holds us back. And every now and then we need God to come along and help us see sand and stars, to see something beyond ourselves that's going to cause us to look up. And that's what God was doing for Abram. He was stretching his faith to believe for the impossible, even the irrational, to see sand and stars. Several thoughts today about sand and stars. Number one is this: sand and stars is seeing what you don't see. Sand and stars is seeing what you don't see. This is what God wanted Abram to see. He wanted him to see something that he could not see. And God wants us all to do that so that we can be who God wants us to be, so we can do what God wants us to do, and we can have what God wants us to have. God wants us and needs us to see something beyond where we currently are. You know, the stars and the sand, well, they were necessary for Abram because when it was spoken to him, there was no children running around. They were still barren. And you know when you're barren and you're broken? You know when it's not working? You know when you've given up hope? You know when faith is lost? You know when your circumstances feel so dictating to you that you can't see the hope of anything new? It's not easy to believe at that point. And that's why God said, Abram, look up. Look up and see the stars. Look up and count the stars. You who have none, try and count them if you can, is what he said. Count them if you can, to see the great thing that he wanted to do for Abram. Do you know, sand and stars refers to something different for all of our lives. It's about seeing something God wants you to do before you do it. Something he wants you to have before you have it. Something he wants to achieve in your world and in your life and in your family before it's a reality for you. We need to be able to see it so that we can align ourselves for the future. I don't know whether you've ever travelled internationally on a plane, but if you've ever travelled internationally, there's this little thing called jet lag that catches up with everybody. And the adjustment for jet lag and preparing for it is a difficult process. But one of the techniques that really helps is to try and adjust your body clock to where you want to go before you get there. To adjust your clock, your watch, your phone, whatever it might be, so that you start getting your body used to the time zone of where you actually want to arrive. The big mistake a lot of people make is they leave it set from where they are now, waiting until they get there, and then try and switch it. We need to align before we get there. We need to align our mind, our heart, our relationships, our life, our lifestyle, our habits, our talk, our walk, our faith, our hope, everything for where we want to go, not for where we are now. If we just live at the level where we are now, we're probably not ever going to get where God really wants us to go in life, we'll live with that sense of being limited to on a constant daily basis. When you see sand and stars, like Abram saw sand and stars, a transition and an alignment begins to take place in your life to help you break free for a new future. It changes the way you walk. It changes the way you talk. It changes the way you behave. It changes the way you believe. It changes the way you express your faith and even the way you walk with God. I've discovered after decades of serving God in the capacity that I have that a lot of people in church world and church life that are God followers make the mistake of living at the level of the problem as opposed to living at the level of the promise. Living at the level of the problem rather than living at the level of the promise. And the problem with living at the level of the problem is all you do is enable the problem and empower the problem to be a problem. That's all we do. We enable it, we empower it, we give it permission. Whereas the moment you start to live at the faith level of the promise, you begin to challenge your circumstances, you challenge your mind, you challenge your talk, you challenge your belief, you challenge everything to get to the point of the promise. Sand and stars simply helps us walk as if, plan as if, talk as if, live as if you're already there. To live as if you're already there, as if you're in your future. Sand and stars causes us to adjust and align to a future that God has placed in our hearts. The second thing that sand and stars does is sand and stars helps us to see ourselves as God wants us to see ourselves. It changes the way we see ourselves. It changes the way we see ourselves. Is there anyone in the room that needs to change? Anyone in the room that needs to change? Grab your neighbor's hand and stick it up in the air if you would. See, we all think the person next to us needs to change, and we're quite happy to promote that. But the reality is we should be sticking our own hands in the air. We need to change. Anyone in the room needs to change? Would you lift your hand in the air? Come on, we do. We need to change. Don't worry about the person next to you. Just lift up your own hand. I need to change if I'm going to get where God wants me to go. I need to change the way that I see myself. I love this story of Abram because it's so potent, it's so powerful. 25 years before the son of promise, Isaac, came along, 25 years before Isaac was born to Abram and Sarai, God spoke this in Genesis chapter 12. Let's start the journey. We're going to journey through Genesis 12, Genesis 15, and Genesis 17 very quickly. Three different occasions where God comes and makes covenant and promise and agreement with this man called Abram. The first one is Genesis 12, verses 1 to 4, where the Lord says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation.'" This is the beginning of the promise. He said, you've got to leave some things if you're going to achieve some things. There's a point and principle for every one of us. If we're going to achieve the things God wants us to achieve, we're going to need to leave some things behind that are familiar to us. And for Abram, it was his relatives, it was his family, it was his country, it was everything that was familiar to him. And God says, go and I will make you a great nation. The last part of verse 2, I will bless you, I will make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. Fast forward now about 10 or 15 years. About 10 or 15 years into chapter 15 of Genesis. So now Abram is around about 90 years of age. 85 to 90 years of age. So 15 years has gone like that. And here we have God coming with another promise. It's the same promise because nothing had changed. How many of you know 15 years waiting for something to change is a long time to wait? Who has difficulty waiting 15 minutes? Come on, I'm impatient. I'm pretty sure many of us know what impatience is. 15 minutes is a long time. 15 years, forget it. Here we are, Genesis 15, verses 2 to 4. It says, but Abram replied, he said, God, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? You promised me nations. I don't even have a son. I don't even have one yet. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. And then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own, and he will be your heir. And then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up. Here's a good bit of advice for all of us. If we're going to stop looking down, you've got to look up. You just got to do the opposite to what you're currently doing. God said, look up and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Could you imagine Abram? Here he is out in the desert. You ever been out in a place outside of the city, in the country areas where it's really dark? And notice how bright the lights in the sky, the stars are out there. They're really magnificent when you get out of the city and you see the brightness of the sky. I can imagine Abram just bumping around that desert night sky, trying to count and thinking, God, could it be possible? Could it be possible not only that you would give me one, but that you would give many? And not just many sons, but many nations? To me, that me and my wife in our barrenness could be such a blessing to the world, that you would choose a people to be your own out of the loins of us too, that you could possibly do that. And the Bible says that he believed, and God counted him as righteous because he aligned his faith and heart and mind to believe what God had said he would do. Now fast forward to Genesis 17. We've gone well past 15 years. We're now at 25 years or 24 years. Now he's 99 years of age. I'm not sure anyone in the room is 99 years of age, but that's fairly old, 99 years of age. And when you're 99 years of age, I can imagine the last thing you're imagining is having children. I can tell you that quite confidently. That's the last thing you're imagining having at 99 years of age. And Mrs. Abram, she was not imagining that either at all. They were both thinking this was never going to happen for them. So here we are now in Genesis 17. It says, now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Could you imagine being Abram thinking, I've heard this before. This is the third time, God, you've visited me in 3 decades, and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And then it says in verse 3, Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. Should underline that. Fall on your face. And it says God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of many nations. No longer will your name be called Abram, but your name will now be called Abraham. For I have made you, not I will make you, but I have made you. I have made you, says God, the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. Next verse is for the girls only, because the next verse never gets preached. It's verses 14 and 16. We always talk about Abraham being the father of faith, but Sarai was to become the mother of faith. And the same promise was given to her. She was going to be the one that did the birthing, so she deserves mention. Let's read it, verses 14 and 16, where it says, the God of Abraham, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai anymore, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her, and then I will bless her, and she will be a mother of many nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. So the promise was for both Abram and Sarai, who would become Abraham and Sarah, the mother and the father of not just a son, but of many nations, and they would be greatly blessed and be a great blessing to the world. Would you notice with me, God gave them both new names. God gave them both new names. He changed the way that they would be seeing themselves, because in that day and age, when your name was mentioned, the meaning of the name was apparent. When you were introduced, like when they introduced you as Abraham, instantly people thought, father of many nations, but you've got no kids. How can that be? How can your name be father of many nations, yet you have no kids? Because your name represented who you were and what you did. You were known for that. Whereas today you call me Tony, all I think of is Tony. I don't think of the meaning of Tony. You must have some princely meaning, I'm sure. There must be some angelic meaning to Tony. But I don't think of that. I just think, Tone. That's all I think. But Abram would have been constantly reminded every time someone called his name, Abram, the father, Abraham, the father of many nations. And it would have just kept pounding away at his head. That's the promise, that's the promise. But look at my circumstance. There's no children. There's no one running around here calling themselves my child. And it was exactly the same for Sarah. God didn't want them to think barrenness anymore. And I think there's a real point for every one of us today in that God's got to break us out of thinking barrenness, and he's got to change some things about the way we see ourselves, the limitations that we place on ourselves because of our experience, because of the things that have been done to us or said about us, or the things that are in our past or even our present limitations, the lack that we have, the inadequacy that we feel, the insecurities that we live with. They all define us until we look up and see sand and stars where God says, have a look at this. This is what your future is. Have a look at this. This is what I have planned and imagined for you. Would you notice God said, I have made you. I have made you. You know, there's some things that God has made you before you're even made. Some things God has made you. Some things God has planned for you and purpose for you before you even arrive at that point. And I wonder what it is that God has already done for you that you don't realize that he's already done. I wonder what it is that God has already done that you don't know that he has already done. You know, when we're sitting in the situation and we're sitting in the circumstance and so we're surrounded by the environment of it, I wonder what it is that we've lost sight of that God has promised, that God has prophesied, that God has purposed that he would do for our world and for our lives. But because of the constant beating up of the circumstances against our heart, against our faith, we tend to lose sight of that promise. Don't put your hand up, but I see hands everywhere. Because it's humanity. It's what happens. It's what life does to us. And here God comes along to this man and to this woman who were hurting so much, and he just wants them to see beyond that limitation that they disqualified themselves by. And we do the same thing. We disqualify ourselves by the limitations of life, by the circumstances of life, by the situations of life. But I've come to encourage you today to see sand and stars. Why? Because God's got things in store for you. God's got plans in store for every single one of us. And God's already declared them. He's declared them, and he's declared you to be something when you feel like nothing. He's declared you to be something and someone when you feel like nothing. You feel like, God, how can I be? How can I do? How can I say? How can I stand? How can I declare? How? Because you've seen sand and stars. That's how. When you see sand and stars, you walk differently. When you see sand and stars, you talk differently. You believe differently. You behave differently. Because when you see sand and stars, what it does is it qualifies the disqualified. It qualifies you. It qualifies those that would naturally disqualify themselves because of something that's happened, because of the smallness of our world or situations. So sand and stars is not just for Abram and Sarai. Sand and stars is for you and for me. Sand and stars is for us collectively. Sand and stars is for us individually. It's for everyone. And it's not always for the big things. It's not always for the bold, world-shaking things. It's not about that big opportunity or position all the time. For some, our sand and stars is just a strong desire to see someone in our family come back to Jesus Christ. It's to see a family member return home. It's to see our family made right. It's to see a relationship, a marriage, a friendship mended. Whatever it is, whatever your sand and stars is, keep looking up. Don't look down. Don't give up. Don't turn away. It took 24 years before the promise began to come true. So whatever it is, don't give up. Even if you can't see how it could happen or will happen. It might be your sand and stars is to break through into a certain ministry and do a certain thing for God, and you might lack confidence, you might lack credibility, you might lack opportunity. Don't give up, don't walk away. Just keep looking up and seeing sand and stars. You know, our world never needed people with a God vision, a God-assigned picture and purpose more than our world needs it right now. Our world needs it right now. The darker that it is in the world, the greater the need it is for people who have light to stand up in their God awareness. People aware of the dream and the desire and the plan that God has for them.
the more confusion that there is in the world, the greater the need is for clarity. So can I encourage you, don't be part of the confusion. Don't be part of just going along with the flow. We're not called to live the same as everybody else. We're called to live with a supernatural sense of sand and stars and promise. And they can call you an airhead and a dreamer. They can call you all that, because I'm sure as Abram walked around the desert just looking up at the stars all the time, it's like, what are you doing, Abram? I'm looking at my future. I'm looking at the promise. And hey, okay, Abram, you know, everyone would have been thinking he'd lost it. That's what happens when you see sand and stars. When you see what nobody else sees, that's what they'll say. That's why God says, do you see what I see? He wants you to see what he sees about you. Could you imagine Abram? 24 years of waking up every morning. Sarah, every morning, 24 years, waking up and Sarah's not pregnant. 24 years of holding on to the fact that God had spoken a word. 24 years for a promise to take place where God said, I have made you the father of many nations. Like, what do you mean you've made us? We've got nothing, God. There's no children here. I'm not talking 24 months. I'm not talking 24 weeks. I'm not talking 24 days or 24 minutes. I'm talking 24 years. That's older than some people in the room today. 24 years of waiting for something to change, waking up in the same circumstance every single day, waking up having your sand and stars declaring one thing, but your circumstance declaring another thing. My prayer as we go on this journey is this, is my prayer is that God would help us stretch our hearts to see the possibilities that God has to move our life forward. But you're not going to get there, we're not going to get there, I'm not going to get there overnight. It's going to take some time. And the invitation from God is simply this, is would you take a walk with me? So I invite you on a journey. Let's go for a walk so God can talk. Because when we walk with God, he talks to us. The problem for some of us is we're walking with the wrong crowd. And you just need some alone time where you can get out in your desert and walk with God where God can talk to you. Walk with God where God can talk to you. That's what Abram did. He walked and God talked. He walked and God talked. Stop talking. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop talking. Let God talk. Let God talk. God said, look up at the stars. That's your family. That's your legacy. And so the invitation was, can we go for a walk and a talk? So I want to invite you up until this Easter period. Can we just go for a walk and have a talk? Can we just go for a walk and let God talk to us on the journey about the things that God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives? That's exactly what I'm inviting for us, each one, to do. And we need to do it because just maybe your dream has become distant. Just maybe it's become distant. Your vision maybe has come a little bit distant from your heart and imagination, and maybe you've distanced yourself even from God and his purpose and his plan. Let's go for a walk and let's just have a talk over the next number of weekends. The last thought I have for today is this. The sand and stars will, it'll cause you to get bigger on the inside. It'll grow you on the inside where it really counts and where it really matters, because sand and stars builds our conviction, it builds our hope, it builds our confidence, and it builds our faith. Sand and stars will press you. It'll push you. It'll push you out of your comfort zone. Sand and stars will lead you out of your current reality to a God reality. Out of a current reality to a God reality. It'll help you see what you don't yet see. It'll help you to see what you don't yet see. Could you imagine the morning when Sarah discovered she was pregnant? Could you imagine the morning when Sarah discovered there was actually something growing inside of her? Could you imagine that morning when she said to Abram, I think I'm pregnant. What? Do you know how old you are, woman? Do you know how old I am? That's impossible. But God had said this would happen. Could you imagine that moment? Because it would have been a moment. Imagine that moment when the promise started to become true. When the light started to switch on that God is really going to do this, because there was a day when the dream started to be, and what a moment that would have been after 24 years of holding on, hanging on, and now it's happening. The truth was that Abram and Sarah had both dreamed of this day. They dreamed of being pregnant for decades, and their faith had been increasing for decades, and then finally they arrived and they got there. This is what sand and stars will do for us. Sand and stars will push us to get bigger. Sand and stars will stop us from speaking limitations over our lives. It'll stop us from going back and diving into our past circumstances, or even inflating and exaggerating our current realities. It'll push us, sand and stars will push us to believe, push us to focus, push us to pursue. It'll push us to talk differently. It'll push us to have a good confession. It'll push us to be confident. It'll push us to declare the promise and to overcome. It'll push us to focus on the promise rather than the problem. It'll push us to be a whole new person. That's what sand and stars will do us and do for us. In the days of Jesus, can I have a team come to stage? In the days of Jesus, when they drank wine, they would mostly store wine in animal skins. They had vessels that they used them on a short-term basis. But wine for long term was stored always in dead animal skins. And Jesus told this story about new wine. New wine representing the new thing that he wanted to do for people to move life forward. And he uses this vivid picture once again of wine and old wineskins. And he says, the new wine, the new thing that I want to do, will not be contained by the old skins. Because the old wineskins, you couldn't put new wine in an old wineskin. Because old wineskins lost their flexibility. They became hard. And if you put new wine in, like new wine in that day was wine that was very unpredictable. It was wine that was bouncy. It was wine that was volatile. And if you put that wine into an old wineskin, it would burst open. And Jesus said, you will lose the wine and you will lose the skin. Whereas mature wine was predictable. Mature wine had a sense of control about it. And mature wine could go in that. But the new thing that God wanted to do to move life forward, it wouldn't be held by the current skin. Here's a word and a thought for some people that are here today. There are some things that need to change for you to go and contain and be who God wants you to be. There are some things that need to change. Jesus spoke to this group of religious people in his day about this new wine because he wanted them to realize they were stuck and that the only way forward was to renew the skin. To renew the container. Because what he was about to do was unpredictable, volatile, bouncy, out of the ordinary, even beyond their wildest imagination and rationale. And maybe you're here today and you're a little bit stuck. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand, but maybe you're a little bit stuck. And I think we all identify with being stuck in life, stuck in a circumstance, stuck in a problem, stuck in a situation, stuck in a context or an environment where you just can't see your way beyond that. Stuck in barrenness, like Abram and like Sarah. And our ability to see is greatly diminished. My declaration for all those that feel stuck is this. It's time to see your sand and stars. It's time to let that wineskin be renewed and restored. Renewed and restored so that it's flexible. So that it allows God to do what God wants to do. And it is your time and it is your turn. And it is your moment to lean into it like Abram did and like Sarah did. They could have missed their time and they could have missed their turn. If their hearts were so hardened by what had happened through their life journey and the barrenness that they found themselves in. They could have just resigned themselves to the fact of, God, whatever you want, you're a dreamer, but this is just the way it is. we're old now, and there's nothing left. We're never going to achieve that status that you want to update us to of being father and mother, let alone father and mother to the nations of the world. Well, the good news is we know the end of the story. And the end of the story is he's now called Father Abraham. And we used to sing a ridiculous song in Sunday school that went on for about 25 hours about Father Abraham has many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Yeah, action song, great truth, real story. Not just a made-up song. It's a song of a journey that a man and a woman took into the desert and looked up and thought, there's one, there's another one, and counted stars. Could you possibly do that, God? Just give us one and we'll be happy. You mean there's another one, God? And there's another one? And there's a nation. And there's a nation. And there's a nation. And there's the church. Could you imagine what Abraham and Sarah imagined as they stood in darkness and saw the sky light up? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Abraham's seed, the light of the world, to shine. Would you stand to your feet with me today? Some things need to change if we're ever going to be who God wants us to be, because the person we are right now can't handle the person God wants us to be. And so the skin needs constant renewal. This skin, this container that contains the new thing that God wants to do, it needs constant renewal. I've got to sing my way into it. I've got to worship my way into it. I've got to walk with God so God can talk with me. And when I walk with God, God talks. It's what He does. And so God's invitation is, come on, let's go on a walk. Let's go on a walk, because the container you have at the moment is too restrictive. It's too small. It's too rigid. It's too inflexible. God wants to do something much, much bigger. Much, much bigger. Come on, like the song said, and we've sung it and we're going to sing it again in a moment. You thought by now the walls would come down. It's been 24 years and the walls are still there. God says, just come on, keep singing it. Just keep singing it. Keep it flexible. Keep it open. Be ready for this robust, bouncy, unpredictable, volatile thing that I want to do in your heart, in your presence, in your life. Dream of some things as if they were already happening in your world. See them through the eyes of faith and imagination. Keep your hope and your confidence high. Just come for a walk. Come for a journey. Can we talk together? Can we talk? Is God's invitation for every one of us. And so, church, can I say to every individual and to us collectively, don't stifle. Don't surrender. Don't stop and don't dare give up on the plan and the dream and the vision and the hope that God has placed inside of you. Get your faith back. Get your dream back. Get your hope back. Get your confidence back. Get your song back. Get your posture back. Get your ability to see the lights in the sky back. It may be dark where you're at, around you, all surrounding you, but look up and see the brightness of heaven and count the stars. And like the sand of the seashore, so shall my promise to you be. There are some things I need to see if I'm going to be who God wants me to be. That needs to be the confession of our hearts. And like Abram, we need to walk outside of our tent and just go for a walk. Go for a walk and look up. We're going to finish this morning with this amazing anthem of worship. This song, it could have literally been written by Abram and Sarah about the promise that God had given them. The words just preach so powerfully to this story. And so I thought today that we'd conclude and just give a moment for us to sing our way into sand and stars, because that's what some of us need to do. You know, some of us, when it comes to this moment, we fold our arms, we disengage. And this is a moment for God to breathe something into you. That's what this is. It's not the end of a service. It's just a moment for God to breathe something into you. So I want to encourage you today just to open up your heart. Do whatever that means for you. It says Abram fell on his face and then God spoke to him. Maybe you just need to come and fall on your face. Maybe you need to stand in the aisle or stand at the front and lift up your hands. For some of you, you just need to change your posture. Do whatever you need to do right now. As we just dim the lights, and we're just going to worship God and come into His presence and ask Him to seal this word today. Come on, God, I need to see. I need to see the stars.